The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
The Taoiseach has said that the era of self-regulation of the social media companies is well and truly over. Harris said that Commissioner Naman, Ireland's new media regulator, is working on a code of conduct for companies which will hit social media platforms where it hurts. But what will it look like? Is it likely to have any effect? Well, joining me now to analyse all of this is Elaine Burke, technology journalist and host of For Tech's Sake podcast. Elaine, good morning.
Good morning.
Now, what are the rules and regulations and indeed the laws at the moment?
Well, so the online safety code that you mentioned there has been drafted and it's currently under review with the European Commission. So it's kind of in what's called a standstill period where it's waiting for that approval before it can actually be enacted here. And that can take 2 to 3 months and we're about maybe one and a half months into that process. So we're kind of in an interim period in terms of that regulation. And the online safety code, because it's from Commissioner Naman is tasked with enforcing the Digital Services Act here in Ireland. So it does take the lead from that European-wide legislation of the Digital Services Act. And a lot of its critics would say it kind of leans too much on the DSA for its regulation. And in terms of the things that you're talking about here, these issues with the spread of extremism online, incitement to violence and kind of content that can cause real world harms, essentially. And that isn't just limited to the kind of rioting and the things that we're seeing in the news today, but also something that you're talking about on your programme later in terms of content that is encouraging young people towards self-harm and eating disorders and things like that. So that kind of real world harm has a broad scope and it's covered in the Digital Services Act, and the online safety code is probably leaning a bit maybe too far on the Digital Services Act for that enforcement. And even things like taking down content that has been reported, it's not too specific in how it wants companies to address that. It has said that they have to address that, that they have to address it in a timely and efficient manner.
But yeah, again, what is timely? Because
exactly,
it's like the use in law all the time of the term reasonable, which is a very vague term, and it's used to see what might be acceptable generally. They're going to have to define timely. I mean, if there's a death threat against somebody, it should be removed immediately.
And that's exactly the problem that Simon Harris has come across here, where a post on Instagram was left up for days. And I'm sure your listeners will come across this. The self-reporting of these issues doesn't really get rapid response. People can report content on these platforms, but you tend not to get much recourse on that. I know people have struggled with that in the past. And it's because you do have platforms that have billions of users, that's a really, really big number, and producing massive amounts of content minute by minute, hour by hour. And you probably have teams of like a few thousand to moderate that. Now, they use AI assistive technologies in that regulation and monitoring, but I would say that they're insufficient as well, even for the most basic things. Like if you see the amount of spam that you sometimes get on these accounts, like the spam messages that I tend to get, I mean, they look like any kind of bot could read it and realize that it's spam content, and they still are regular occurrences on these platforms. So even the most kind of what I would see is obvious content that they should be clamping down on isn't clamped down upon. So when you're into more nuanced things, which is like interpreting the language someone has used, and is that violent? Is it reporting on violence? Is it commenting on someone else's violence? Like that, these are more tricky things to regulate, and they're not even getting the basics right. So I would have little confidence that they can do it with the harder stuff.
One test of their own capabilities of being able to take stuff down is if, for example, you go on X and you have a right go at Elon Musk. How long would it take them to take it down?
Well, there have been plenty of anecdotal reports that that does seem to be the case, where it's a one-man platform at this point with X. Content that would be in his favour seems to do well, and content that maybe is not in his favour, maybe people are thinking it's being suppressed. But I do also think that the way that platform is kind of leaning towards, and the clicks and the engagement that are doing well on that platform is tending towards that more extremist side of things. So that could actually be maybe a natural progression of how they're operating their business. And this is something that it's really hard to take anyone at their word that works at these companies when they aren't kind of doing their best to regulate this stuff, when it has been reported on for over 10 years now that their algorithms actually do favour extremist content and push people towards fringes in terms of attitudes and things like that. That has long been researched and long been documented since going back as far as 2012, 2013. And, you know, a lot of them have actually stopped publishing open research on their algorithms because of the kind of criticism that's been levelled at it in that kind of context. But to claim that they aren't aware of this would be an outright lie, I would say. And it is something that they have, you know, they're massive companies. They have incredibly robust legal teams and general counsel teams. And if you have legislation that is vague in any way, they will absolutely capitalise on that.
Now, Elaine, you know, when you have a situation like the Iron Dome in Israel, and that's obviously a highly digitized defence system that keeps out incoming rockets. But the way to get round it is to overwhelm that Iron Dome system with hundreds, if not thousands, of drones, and it simply cannot cope. It is overwhelmed. And I'm thinking there's a comparison here with even asking the social media giants to moderate the content and to edit it and control it and so on. There's just too much of it. They are literally overwhelmed.
Absolutely. Like, I do not see how the current structure of these companies could overnight become capable of doing the level of moderation that they should be responsible for. And that's the thing. They've been allowed for many, many years to build companies in this shape. So this is a bit like trying to, catch the horse after it's bolted, because they have had many, many years. They have grown to incredible scale, these companies and these platforms, before anyone has really gotten serious about asking them to regulate and moderate their content. I mean, if you go back to the early days of the internet forums that operated online, the ones that were quite successful had teams of volunteer moderators, and they were at a small scale. But anyone who did that level of volunteer work will tell you it is hard work to moderate the things that people say online, and that was at a small scale. And none of these companies have ever had their feet held to the fire in terms of having to do that work, and they've kind of fobbed it off onto automated systems and asking users to report it. Even in the case of GDPR, the big cases that have come down on GDPR against the likes of like Meta have been instigated by users. So users are reporting those problems and discovering those problems. And so even the regulators would struggle to even audit these platforms and find all of the problems in there. It's a scale issue.
Now, one of the quotations we played from the Taoiseach at the beginning of the programme, but he went on to talk about individuals being targeted. Now, that's where it can hurt. Your boss, be it Elon Musk or Mark Zuckerberg or whoever else, can pay the fine for you because the companies are so rich, but they can't get you out of jail. So if there are really penal penalties for those companies who persistently offend, so you get the boss of whatever platform it is in France, in Germany, in Belgium, in Ireland, actually facing a jail sentence because of the malign content that they host. As I say, money can't get them out of jail.
Well, like that's something that you said, but I do think the likes of an Elon Musk type seems to think that his money protects him from everything. It is a certain attitude. And he also seems to have exhibited a great lack of understanding of international regulation, employment regulation in different territories and things like that. And even he, I think around this time last year, tweeted something about if anybody gets fired from their job because of something that they posted on X, our legal team at X will protect them and support them. So he does seem to have...
But that doesn't kind of happen. Attitude. That's only spoof.
No, these are things that he just says online, and it whips people up, and it also encourages that kind of content to flourish online. And this is what I mean about X being kind of encouraged down those kind of routes because of the person at the head of the company. But it is something that Simon Harris said. He said that this will be the year in which there will be binding codes, financial sanctions, and personal liabilities on social media companies. Now, I'm aware of the binding codes. The online safety code will be a binding code. Financial sanctions, you're looking at fines of up to 20 million euro. That's not much to a company like Meta, which just reported a quarterly revenue of 39.707 billion. But they can also be fined up to 6% of their revenue under the DSA.
In recent days, we've been talking about the riots in the UK and how people are facing fairly draconian instant punishments. I mean, overnight, you're hearing of a 7-year sentence for someone involved in rioting. Now, even when they get out of jail, they carry a criminal conviction, so they can't go on their holliers to the USA. They, because they're no longer in the EU, they can't even move around Europe. They can't go to Benidorm. And if you've got these high-powered executives who suddenly find themselves stuck where they're living because they have a criminal conviction, I mean, those kind of weapons, maybe they seem extreme, but they're the most effective ones.
Yeah, and it does kind of speak to what is the root of the problem here. Is it the individuals that have showed up to these rallies, or is it the accounts that have encouraged them to do that? I mean, who is really bearing the responsibility? And is it the platform that also hosted that material? And I really don't think you're going to solve this problem by targeting the kind of individuals that have had the trickle down effect come to them and convince them to show up at these events and cause trouble. There is a much broader problem here in that there are platforms and there are accounts, there are organized accounts that are instigating this kind of violence and these kind of activities. And even in the case of they're probably not even genuine accounts, they may not even be part of the communities that are there trying to whip up. And that again is something that's been well documented and well researched, is that there's plenty of false accounts online that spread disinformation and misinformation to cause trouble. And the motivations can be different things, but sometimes they are even part of, say, you know, a Russian disinformation campaign to try and cause disruption across the world.
Now, Sean Moncrief had Fergus Finlay as a guest on the other day. And Fergus Finlay was saying, you know, in order to get the internet, you have to have an internet supplier, whether it's, you know, your broadband from Sky, from Virgin Media, or whether it's via your telephone from Air or from Vodafone. And this is one way of actually getting at the social media platforms. If you can't get them because you have no social media availability via your phone or your broadband, then they're stumped.
I think that's a real misunderstanding of the wealth of things that we get from this connectivity. I know it's constantly reported in the news, the ill effects.
No, I'm not talking about stopping people having the internet by no means, or even social media. But those companies that offend, if, for example, the carriers, the broadband suppliers, the Airs, the Vodafones were told, sorry, you can't have X. It is too poisonous a toxin in our society. You can't carry it on your broadband offering. Sorry.
Yeah, I think, well, people will find workarounds for that. You know, that's something that people who use the web are quite canny at doing. Even the Great Firewall of China is not impenetrable. People in China do get access to the things that they're not supposed to get access to by the rule of that country.
But how do you connect? How do you connect to any of those platforms if the carriers don't permit it?
So the carriers are trying to like restrict a certain domain, and then people create like a mirror domain or something like that that they can access. So that kind of a tool is nearly overcomplicating things. I do think that like one of the biggest issues here is that in the top 10 of the world's most wealthy companies, like these are 9 of them, these platforms. So these massive, very powerful, very wealthy companies are not tasked with proper regulation and proper moderation of the content that they host. I mean, that is a huge issue, and anything else is nearly kind of distracting from that being having been allowed to happen, and it's about time a reckoning has taken place there.
All right. Well, look, it's a very interesting topic, I have to say, and it has engaged our listeners. One saying, it took so-called experts way too long to realise the awful damage that social media is having on the world, especially on young people. The threats to Simon Harris, there is no problem here. If you threaten to kill someone, unless it's in a heated argument, for example, it should be taken at face value and an immediate long prison sentence. And that would soften their cough. That's from Des White. Another one, they couldn't put bankers in jail for crashing the economy, Pat. What are the chances they'll put someone from a social media company in jail? And that's a very good rhetorical question from David. Anyway, thanks to Elaine Burke, technology journalist and host of For Tech's Sake podcast. Still to come, are landlords really leaving the market? But now it's time for cash.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.